As I read from the Old Testament, our lesson this morning, chapter 45 from Genesis, where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children, as well as all your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you here, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him.
Today we come to the end of this series with one of the great stories in all of Scripture. And I would invite you, as we go through this message together, to take out your teaching notes and to follow along. And if you want to write things down, you're welcome to do that as well. You know, there's been a popular show on television over these past 20 years or so now called Behind the Music, and it's on one of the music stations, VH1. And this show chronicles the rise and usually the fall of popular music stars. And the premise of the show is that behind the music, there are always ups and downs and struggles in the star's life that most of us don't know about. We see the glamour and we hear the final product, but we don't see what they had to go through to get to where they are today. And another premise of the show is that there are always other people who have been working behind the scenes to make the dreams of this star come true. In other words, no one gets to where they are all by themselves. They always have some help along the way. And what I would like us to focus on this morning is that through all the ups and downs of our lives, through all the twists and turns of our journey as followers of Jesus, in the midst of every trial and tribulation we encounter, there is a God, a holy God, an awesome God that is working behind the scenes. And as it says in number one in your notes, God is working behind the music in your life. Today, as we conclude this series, we're focusing again on Joseph. And last Sunday, we looked at the beginning of Joseph's story over in Genesis chapter 37. And today, we're seeing Joseph at the end or near the end of his story. Biblical scholars call this long section from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50 the Joseph cycle. And I think they call it a cycle because throughout these 14 chapters, Joseph's life is a series of ups and downs and ups and downs that continue on and on. Just look briefly with me at some of the ups and downs in Joseph's life. We know from his birth that he was always up in his father's admiration. Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel, the wife that Jacob loved more than her older sister Leah. Jacob loved Joseph more than Leah's 11 sons and 2 daughters. So Joseph was always up in his father's admiration, but as a result of that, he was always down in his brother's rejection. And you remember, we talked about this last week, that one day Joseph was up at his father's place and his dad sent him down to Dothan to see how his brothers were getting along. And when his brothers saw him coming, they said to themselves, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's get him." And they threw him down into a dangerous pit. Ups and downs. And it would have killed him had it not been for the eldest son, Reuben. And then along came some traitors, some Ishmaelites. And his brothers pulled him up out of the pit. Then they sold him into slavery down in Egypt. Now, no sooner was Joseph down in Egypt than he got a job in Potiphar's house. Now, Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh. Potiphar was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. In other words, we might say he was the head of the secret service. And Joseph was so loyal in serving Potiphar that in time, Potiphar put him in charge. Put him in charge of Potiphar's entire household. And Joseph, we read, was not only a very smart young man, but he was also handsome and good looking. And the Bible says that Potiphar's wife was attracted to young Joseph, and she said, "Joseph, come lie down with me." But Joseph, tempted to sin, holds on to his values. And he says, "I will not do this great wickedness against my master and against God." So day after day, Potiphar's wife tempts him. And day after day, Joseph persists in holding on to his values and saying no. And so she lies about Joseph. She accuses Joseph of rape. And the officers don't believe Joseph. They believe Potiphar's wife. And before he knows it, he ends up down in the dungeon. Ups and downs. After years in the dungeon, Joseph manages to get up to the king's palace. And he breaks down the mysteries of these 2 terrifying dreams that Pharaoh had had, dreams that no one else was able to interpret. And in the first, the king is standing along the Nile River, and he sees 7 fat cows come up out of the river and start grazing in the plush green grass. And then he sees 7 ugly thin cows struggling up out of the river, and before his eyes in this dream, these ugly thin cows are eating the plump and juicy ones. And he wakes up in a cold sweat. And when he falls back to sleep, Pharaoh has another dream. And in this one, he sees 7 plump ears of grain and then 7 blighted ears. And the thin ears swallow up the plump ones. Pharaoh is so troubled. But then he hears about this young man named Joseph in the dungeon, who has a gift for interpreting dreams. And he commands that Joseph be brought up to the palace. And Joseph tells the king that what these dreams mean is that there will be 7 years of abundance in Egypt, followed by 7 years of famine. And as he solves Pharaoh's riddle, he is up again. Joseph is promoted to the top, appointed head of the Department of Agriculture, second in command to Pharaoh himself. And wisely, during these 7 years of abundance, we're told Joseph fills the storehouses of Egypt with grain. And then, as predicted, the famine comes. And all of Egypt comes to Joseph for food. And not just Egypt. We are told that there is a global food crisis. And all the world comes to Joseph for food, including the family of his father Jacob, starving down in Canaan. He sends his son down to Egypt to buy grain. And as we enter into this story that John read for us this morning, Joseph's brothers are already in Egypt, and Joseph is getting ready to make himself known to them. Now just picture this scene. 11 young men stand before Joseph, but they don't know who it is. And I imagine that these skinny, hungry, half-starved brothers of his are quite intimidated. I mean, Joseph, by now, is a great man, one of the most powerful men on earth. And they are at his mercy because he controls the food supply that they so desperately need. They don't recognize Joseph, but he recognizes them. And when he sees them, he is on the verge of a breakdown. And our scripture says, beginning at verse 1, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, send everyone away from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it. And the household of Pharaoh heard it. So loudly that even though he had cleared the room of everyone but his brothers, the Egyptians heard it, the household heard it. Everyone is thinking, what's going on with Joseph? Even his brothers must wonder, why is this man crying so loudly? You see, for all these years, Joseph is holding his emotions in check. But now, face to face with these brothers, there is this release of emotion that he's been holding in for so long. You know, Joseph was 17 when they sold him into slavery, and we're told that he was 30 when Pharaoh elevated him to this position. So he hasn't seen these brothers for a long, long time. Joseph's tears are the tears like you and I might experience when someone we love so dearly has been away for a long, long time, and they come home. Joseph weeps because his heart is filled with joy and with love for his brothers. Now, I want to ask you this morning, is there anybody here who has ever experienced ups and downs in your life? Well, if you haven't, keep on living, and you will. Joseph's life was filled with ups and downs. And in this moment, when he comes face to face with his brothers, he reveals to us two important things that we need to claim as we face the ups and downs of our lives, whatever they may be. Joseph reveals two things. He reveals who he is, and he also reveals who God is. First, Joseph reveals who he is. When he regains his composure, then he tells his brothers who he is. Notice that as we read these verses, Joseph is defined by his character, not his circumstances. He's defined by the person he has become as a child of God, his character, and not by the ups and downs of his life. The scripture says that Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." Now, we imagine at that point that there's a great gasp. But he says, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." He's not identifying himself by his circumstances, but by who he has become in relationship with God. If Joseph was defined by his circumstances, he would have been bitter, he would have been angry, he would have held on to revenge against his brothers. But Joseph is defined by who he has become as a child of God. And in effect, he is saying to them, "I will not be defined by the pit I find myself in, but by how I got out of it. I will not be defined by the pit I find myself in, but by how I got out of it." Now, all of us have ups and downs in life, and I believe that it is in those moments that we reveal who we really are. It's in those moments that we say, "I will not be defined by the chains that shackle me, but I want to be defined by how, by the grace of God, I was able to break loose of those chains and find new life. I will not be defined by bitterness and resentment over some past hurt. I want to be defined by how God helped me find forgiveness and reconciliation. I will not be defined by my grief. I want to be defined by the healing hand of God that has seen me through." A couple of weeks ago, I received an email from someone that I have not seen in more than 25 years. And this email touched me very, very deeply. I just want to read a portion of it to you this morning. It says, "Dear Pastor Denny, I'm not sure why I'm writing this email to you, but I feel the Holy Spirit is moving me to do so. I had wanted to try to find you many times over the past 27 years, but I could not remember your last name. And the numerous times I tried to dig deep into my memory, I just couldn't remember anything but Pastor Denny. And then, walking one night this week, talking to the Lord, your last name came to me. And I found you via the internet. I don't know if you remember me. I attended the church in Center Hall for a few years while you were pastor there. And you helped me through a very difficult time in my life. And I won't go into all the detail of the things that I remembered as she told me about them just as clearly as if it happened yesterday. But as her email continues on, she says, I thank God every day for the challenges I had in my life back then. Because it is through these numerous challenges that I believe God has helped me to become the person that I am today. After 24 years, God blessed me with a wonderful Christian man. God is so good, she says. I have a job today in which I have the opportunity every day to help other people. God is doing truly remarkable things, and I'm so happy to be part of it, she says. As the Christian pop group Seventh Time Down sings it, God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. And then she finishes this email saying, thank you for making a difference in my life. I will be forever grateful to you, Sue. You know, when I received that email, I was just blessed beyond words. I mean, here is a woman who I know has faced so many, many ups and downs in her life, and yet, by the grace of God, she refuses to be defined by her circumstances, but by her identity as a child of God. She has had firsthand experience with what the psalmist says in Psalm 30, that weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. She has discovered what the apostle Paul writes about in his letter to the Romans, that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I wonder, is there anybody here today, amid the ups and downs of your life, who is ready to reveal who you really are in Christ? Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, and he would not be defined by the pit he was in, but by the God who brought him up out of the pit. And Joseph not only reveals who he is to them, but he also reveals to them his understanding of who God is. You see, Joseph believes that God was working on his behalf behind all the music that was going on. He says to his brothers three different times. First of all, in verse 5, God sent me before you to preserve life. And then in verse 7, God sent me before you, for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. And then, just in case they didn't hear it the first time or the second time, again in verse 8, he says, so it was not you who sent me here, but God. But God. Joseph had come to realize that his journey, with all of its ups and downs, was the work of a powerful God who was forever operating behind the scenes. Now here's the thing, and this is what I would like us all to claim this morning in this world with all of its ups and downs, whatever our circumstances might be today, God is forever at work on your behalf. I don't know what you might be facing today, but I do know you have a Heavenly Father who's working behind the scenes. Don't focus on the pit you're in, the writer to the Ephesians would say, but focus on the one who is able to accomplish far more abundantly than we can ask or imagine. I don't know what you're facing right now, but John the Apostle says, don't focus on the enemy that wants to bring you down, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I don't know whether you're up or down today, but because we serve a God who's working behind the scenes, we can claim with the Apostle Paul that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sisters and brothers, we are a people of hope. We serve a God who is forever behind the music of our lives. And nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.